Welcome to Science TLDR, where we take complex scientific papers and distill them into essential, digestible knowledge for you. Today, we're doing a deep dive into a really fascinating new paper. It's titled Sliding Window Interaction Grammar, SWING, a Generalized Interaction Language Model for Peptide and Protein Interactions. And it's just been published in Nature Methods. For years, one of the biggest hurdles in computational biology, maybe the biggest in some areas, has been trying to truly speak the language of how proteins interact. It's incredibly complex. And this deep dive, it's all about how that barrier might finally be starting to come down.
Indeed. It's a fundamental challenge, really. For a long time now, the traditional protein language models, PLMs, they've gotten remarkably good at understanding individual proteins, you know, single sequences.
Right, like predicting structure or function of one protein.
Exactly. You could think of it as mastering the grammar of a single word, predicting its properties, maybe even designing a new one. But proteins, well, they almost never function in isolation. Their real biological significance comes from how they interact, how they talk to each other. It's more like sentences or even dialogues.
That's a great analogy, dialogue.
And this paper introduces SWING. It's a novel interaction language model, an ILM. And what it offers, maybe for the first time, is a robust way to learn the actual grammar of how proteins and peptides interact. What's truly revolutionary here is how it seems to bridge this critical gap in predicting these complex biological processes, you know, the ones underlying health and disease.
A powerful distinction then, individual words versus this dynamic conversation. So for you, our listener, this deep dive gives you a front row seat to understanding a really cutting edge breakthrough in computational biology. We're talking about how AI isn't just deciphering life's building blocks, but actually starting to understand the communication between them. We'll unpack why this has been such a tough problem, the really ingenious way SWING works around it, and then get into some pretty impressive applications that show its immediate impact. Okay, so let's unpack this central challenge first. We've all seen deep learning transform so many fields, right? Image recognition, natural language. And in biology, PLMs have done incredible things. Predicting protein structure, think AlphaFold, ESMFold, or even designing brand new proteins. But here's the key question. If these models are so powerful, why have protein interactions stayed such a difficult puzzle? Why do they fall short when proteins actually start, you know, talking to each other?
That's precisely the critical point the paper tackles head on. The core limitation, as the authors really highlight, is that existing PLMs usually embed the protein sequences separately.
Okay, so they look at each protein on its own.
Right. Imagine trying to understand, say, a complex political debate by just analyzing each speaker's words in total isolation. You wouldn't consider how they're responding, how their points relate, where the tension is.
You'd miss the whole point of the debate.
Exactly. And for protein interactions, or PTIs, the function, the biology, it isn't just about the individual players. It's about the specific amino acid contact points, the subtle molecular handshakes. Existing PLMs often aggregate information, you know, average it out over the entire protein. They create a general representation, which just doesn't capture these very specific context-dependent interaction sites effectively.
So it smooths over the critical details.
It can, yes. And plus, the sheer length and variability of protein sequences can be a real scaling hurdle for PLMs when you try to make them generalize across all possible interaction types. So while they're great tools for individual protein tasks, they're fundamentally, well, suboptimal for decoding the complex language of how proteins interact with each other.
So it's not just understanding the individual words or even isolated sentences. It's about grasping the full dialogue, where the interaction context is absolutely key.
Got it. That makes sense. Okay, so given that limitation, how does SWING, this new interaction language model, how does it fundamentally change the game? What's the unique ILM architecture that lets it listen in a different way?
Well, SWING's real innovation is how it approaches this. It proactively encodes pairwise residue information before it even gets to the embedding stage.
Okay, how? Think of it like generating a dedicated interaction vocabulary right from the start. Instead of just looking at amino acids within one protein sequence, SWING uses a sliding window. It takes a small subsequence, maybe from a peptide, representing a potential interaction site, and it systematically matches this window against every possible position on the target partner protein.
Okay, like scanning along the partner.
Precisely. And for each potential contact point, it doesn't just ask, is there an alanine here? It asks, how does this alanine differ biochemically from the amino acid it might interact with right at this spot?
Ah, So it's not just identity, but the difference, like polarity or hydrophobicity.
Exactly right. It calculates that biochemical difference using standard metrics like polarity, hydrophobicity, charge, things we know influence interactions. And crucially, this difference isn't just noted, it's then ordinally encoded.
Ordinally encoded, what does that mean practically?
It means it assigns a specific numerical value, like a score on a scale, that quantifies the type and maybe even the strength of that potential biochemical interaction at that specific point. It turns a qualitative biochemical property into quantifiable data the model can learn from. This whole process generates a continuous stream of these different scores. You can almost picture it as a new kind of molecular sentence that specifically describes the potential interaction landscape.
Wow. Okay. So it's creating a unique biochemical signature for every potential point of contact. That sounds conceptually quite clever.
It is. And the stream of scores is then broken down into overlapping fixed-size subsequences. These are the K-mers. These K-mers effectively become the words in Swing's unique interaction language.
The interaction word, okay.
And then each full interaction, the whole sequence of these interaction words, is treated as a document. Swing then uses a doc2vec model. Now, for those less familiar, doc2vec is an AI technique, a bit like how large language models understand the overall topic or meaning of a text document, not just individual words. It represents that whole interaction document as a compact numerical vector, an embedding.
So it summarizes the entire interaction dialogue into a mathematical signature.
A very information-rich signature, yes. And these interaction embeddings, these summaries, are then fed into powerful classifiers. The paper uses XGBoost, which is a type of machine learning algorithm known for being very effective at making predictions from complex data. And notice this whole approach is fundamentally different. It doesn't try to tweak existing PLMs or their single protein representations. It builds an entirely new language focused solely on the interaction itself.
That's a really compelling design, moving beyond just the individual players to read the dynamics between them. But, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Does it actually work? What kinds of real-world biological problems did they test it on, and what did they find? I'm keen to see how his elegance translates into actual biological insight.
And this is where Swing really starts to impress, I think. It shows some powerful generalizability. One of the key applications they tested rigorously was predicting peptide major histocompatibility complex binding, PMHA binding.
Okay, MHC. Crucial for the immune system, right? Presenting antigens.
Absolutely vital. MHC molecules are like molecular billboards on our cells. They display short peptides, little fragments of proteins, to our T cells. And the T cells then decide, friend or foe, initiate an immune response or not. But the sheer number of possible peptide MHC combinations is astronomical. You simply can't test them all experimentally. It's infeasible.
A classic combinatorial explosion problem. So how did Swing handle that complexity?
It showed remarkable success. It predicted both class 1 and class 2 PMHC interactions accurately. But what's really groundbreaking here is that its class I model could actually cross-predict class 2 interactions. That's a level of complexity, predicting across classes that other methods have really struggled with or haven't even attempted.
Wow, okay. That's like teaching a model Spanish grammar and finding it can suddenly understand Portuguese sentence structure without specific Portuguese lessons.
That's a pretty good analogy, yes. And it gets even more impressive. It showed exceptional zero-shot and transfer learning capabilities. For example, models trained only on human MHC data were able to accurately predict interactions in mice murine class 2 PMHC binding, including interactions involving specific mouse alleles known to be risk factors in autoimmune diseases like lupus and type 1 diabetes.
Trained only on human data predicts mouse risk alleles.
That's significant. It is. To put a number on it, the human class 2 model predicted mouse MHC2 interactions with an area under the curve, an AUC of a 0.88, which is considered very strong predictive performance. This kind of cross-species generalization is a really big leap for understanding immunity and potentially designing better vaccines or immunotherapies.
Huge implications for immunology right there. Okay, what else? What other big biological puzzles did they point Swing at?
So secondly, they adapted Swing to predict something equally critical: disruptions of protein interactions, PPIs, caused by missense variants, genetic variations that change a single amino acid.
understanding how genetic changes affect protein partnerships.
Yeah.
Very relevant for disease.
Extremely relevant. Many existing variant effect predictors, they tend to focus on predicting overall pathogenicity, like, does this variant cause disease at the organism level? But many variants might specifically break a crucial interaction without necessarily wrecking the whole protein's structure or stability. It's a more subtle effect.
Right, a targeted disruption of the dialogue, not just garbling one speaker's words entirely.
Right.
That seems vital for understanding mechanisms.
Precisely. And Swing proved highly accurate here, too. It predicted the interaction effects of known Mendelian disease variants with an AUC of 0.87. Very good. And for common or rare variants found in the general population, it still achieved an AUC of 0.80. This provides a really fundamental link. Genotype the specific variant to phenotype the disrupted interaction. It lets us predict, just from sequence data, how a single amino acid change might break a critical partnership.
Even if other methods might miss it.
Yes, potentially. For instance, they showed a Swing identified a specific variant in the PRKCH gene, RS2230500, which is known to be associated with rheumatoid arthritis. Swing clearly flagged it as interaction disruptive. And even more strikingly, they looked at the HPX-GLUD1 interaction. Swing predicted disruption by a variant, RS12117, even though this variant was located far away from the known experimentally determined interaction interface.
Far away, so not a direct contact change.
Exactly. It suggests the variant causes maybe a subtle conformational change, a shift in the protein's shape elsewhere, that indirectly disrupts the binding site. That's a level of nuance that other leading models, even sophisticated ones like AlphaMissense, apparently missed in this case. It really highlights Swing's power to capture these subtle yet potentially critical long-range effects on interactions.
That is genuinely astounding.
Yeah.
So it predicts peptide binding across MHC classes, even across species.
Yeah.
And it can pinpoint how a subtle, distant mutation might break a protein partnership. That points to incredible generalizability. How does it actually stack up head-to-head against other state-of-the-art models?
Well, when they benchmarked it, Swing consistently came out on top, especially in those really challenging scenarios, the cross-class and cross-species predictions for PMHC binding. Now, some other models might have been competitive in very specific narrow tasks. They mentioned, for instance, a specialized XG Boost model, XG Boost ILE, did well for class IPMHC prediction alone, but Swing was really the only model that showed consistently strong performance across that whole spectrum of difficult cross-context prediction tasks they set up.
So maybe not always the absolute best, by a tiny margin on one single task, but the most robust and generalizable across the board.
That seems to be the key takeaway from their comparisons, yes. Mm. It really demonstrates the value of its unique ILM architecture. It goes beyond what traditional PLMs, even when adapted, seem capable of in these complex interaction scenarios.
Okay, that paints a very compelling picture for its unique approach. So let's bring it back. What does this all mean for us? For scientists, researchers in the field, why should you, our listener, really care about an ILM that learns this protein interaction language so well?
The implications are potentially vast, really transformative across several domains. Firstly, think about immunology and disease. If we can predict PMHC binding more accurately, that means a much better handle on antigen presentation. That's absolutely crucial for designing more effective vaccines, for developing novel immunotherapies that are maybe tailored to an individual's MHC profile, and potentially for predicting susceptibility to complex autoimmune diseases like lupus or type 1 diabetes. We could move towards more personalized immune intervention.
Huge potential there, and beyond immunology.
Secondly, in precision medicine and drug discovery, being able to predict how specific genetic variants disrupt specific interactions, that could profoundly deepen our understanding of disease mechanisms right down at the molecular level, which in turn could lead to identifying totally new drug targets, maybe targeting the interaction itself, or developing more precise therapies that aim to restore or inhibit these specific dysfunctional protein partnerships.
The therapeutic possibilities seem enormous, but like any powerful new technology, we need to understand its boundaries, right? Are there caveats? Where does Swing fit in the bigger picture?
That's a really important point. Critical thinking is essential here. While Swing is clearly a powerful, maybe even revolutionary tool within its domain, especially for these protein-peptide type interactions, it's important to remember it's presented as a context-dependent ILM. It's not being claimed as, you know, a universal foundation model that understands all biological interactions across the entire proteome. Those interactions involve a huge diversity of biochemical and biophysical mechanisms.
So it's specialized, highly effective for certain interaction dialects, perhaps.
That's a good way to put it. It excels within its defined scope, Learning the specific grammar of things like peptide recognition by MHC or interaction disruptions by variants. And this actually encourages us as researchers to think critically. It highlights the specificity needed. It shows that while we've maybe started to decode one crucial biological language, there are likely many other molecular conversations happening, each potentially needing its own tailored computational approach to be fully understood. A major piece, but still part of a much larger puzzle.
That was truly a deep dive into the fascinating complex world of protein interactions and this revolutionary swing model. For our fellow scientists and experts listening, let's distill this down. Here are three major takeaways from the results discussed today that really highlight swing's impact.
Okay, three key points from the results. One, swing shows unprecedented zero-shot and cross-prediction capabilities for peptide-MHC interactions. It successfully predicts both class 1 and class 2 binding, it cross-predicts between them, and crucially, it generalizes from human training data to mouse MHC alleles with high accuracy. Two, swing accurately predicts how missense variants disrupt specific protein-protein interactions. This gives us a vital genotype-to-phenotype link. It outperforms existing predictors in this specific task, and importantly, it can even identify disruption caused by variants located far from the known interaction interface. Three, the unique architecture of swing's interaction language model significantly outperforms other language models in these challenging cross-context prediction tasks. This underscores its generalizability and its unique ability to capture the complex language of interactions in a way traditional PLMs seem unable to match.
Absolutely remarkable findings. The ability to start truly speaking this language of interactions just opens up so many possibilities for accelerating research. You know, you can imagine discovering new drug targets much faster or understanding disease pathology with a resolution we could only dream of just a few years ago. This paper certainly pushes the boundaries of AI and biology. And it really makes you wonder, what other hidden biological languages are out there just waiting for the right computational tools to decode them? That's definitely something for you to mull over until our next deep dive.
Indeed. Lots to think about. Until next time, keep exploring those intricate hidden languages of biology.
You've been listening to Science TLDR. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.